Blog Talk Radio.
By Patrick Alexander. Find him on the tube of yous.
Do it now.
The tube of yous. You know, what is with the shockwave? What is going on with you people at Shockwave?
I don't know. What'd they do?
My plugins keep crashing, and I thought it was just Chrome, but it does it in every browser.
Yeah. I've been having that issue too recently, and I thought it was just me.
Oh, looks like I'm going to have to go find a fix and put it up in our tech bitch section for you people out there. It was irritating me. I couldn't post anything. I was trying to get our site in some kind of workable order, you know, so that it looks presentable for visitors.
Woot, woot.
Trying to get there. Those of you who did manage to see our Twitter last night, hope you caught my political combat thing that I... Well,
political combat!
It's hilarious. I want that game to be released. It's a guy, he does a... it's a parody of Mortal Kombat, obviously, and it has all of the, you know, Mitt Romney's camp and all of Obama's camp, and they're like, you know, it's hilarious. You have to watch it. Go by new.gamingnatrix.com and you type in political combat. You'll see it.
Very cool. Very cool.
Okay. First, before we get started, I need to send some love out to Miss Jessica Brown. She runs her own blog. She's a girl gamer. Woman gamer, I'm correcting myself, Jessica, and she's a little ill. She's under the weather. You guys go and send her some love. I'm saying under the weather, but she's really, really, really ill. And I'm not going to tell her business any more than that. If she wants you to know, she'll tell you. But send her some love. Tell her we sent you. And I think she's listening this morning. Hello there, lady.
Hello, hello, hello. I prescribe chocolate.
Chocolate is a cure-all.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know why she's up at 1:15 a.m. You know what? You are worse than I am, I think.
I was asleep.
She's hooked on Guild Wars 2, apparently.
I'm so jealous. I want to play so badly.
I refuse.
Stand it.
I refuse. Y'all will not. You will not.
I want to play. Want
you
to
will
play.
Not make me. Not.
Somebody send me a copy. I want to play.
You are not.
It's horrible. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess they kind of came here for news, didn't they?
Maybe well,
a little bit.
There's a lot of news. I don't even. This is. Ooh, man.
There is a lot of news. Can I go? Can I go first?
Yeah, do it. Do it.
All right, people. Your computer's probably not any safer. But anyways, pop-up ad queen caught by the U.S. government and fined $163 million.
Ooh, oh man, that hurts.
Yes, yes, yes. Christy Ross is her name. Of course, you know, if you've ever gotten a pop-up, or if you've ever even paid her by mistake, her name is Christy Ross. Last 5 years, Ross has been flooding the internet with pop-up ads, all claiming that your computer is infected with viruses. Yes, I've seen this one before. I've laughed at it, closed it, and scanned my computer and gotten rid of that shit. It's illegal. And it turns out that the law...
I'm sorry.
Law has finally caught up with her. The FCC has just fined Ross $163 million for her crimes. The infamous fake computer scan ads encourage you to download free antivirus software under the name WinFixer, Drive Cleaner, Free Repair, Win Antivirus, Win Anti-Spyware, or System Doctor, which you'll not believe how many times I've cleaned this off of friends and family's computers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Once you're hooked by the fraudulent warning, the advertisements redirect you to a page trying to sell you antivirus software for $40 to $60 a pop. According to the government, more than a million were victims of Ross's scam. and given the size of the judgment, almost surely proportional to the amount of money Ross raked in from the folks she defrauded. $1 million is probably a low estimate. The terms of the judgment prohibit Ross from selling computer security software in the future.
Ever
wow.
again.
Yeah. I just cannot believe, and this crap, anyways, if you downloaded it on your onto your computer, was just horrible in the first place.
She got me because I was clicking in a hurry. You know when you're looking for something?
Yeah.
And you click before the pop-up actually comes. The pop-up is actually already there, but you can't see it yet.
Yeah.
I was like, what the beep? You know, when it started downloading, it's like,
oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, no. What is this? Mm, get the hell up off my computer.
Well, she's not the only one in trouble this morning. I've actually been hearing a lot of this lately. As you all know here, we all have many jobs, and one of mine is tech support for a company. I hear this scam a lot, and the FTC is finally stepping in. It's a tech support scam. It's being run out of India. You all that have older family members that you let run loose on the Internet and you don't keep an eye on them, they probably have gotten gotten taken by this. It's a phone con that's attempts to convince people that their computers have a virus, and then they sign them up for a multi-year contract for antivirus. The U.S. Federal Trade Commission has carried out a huge international crackdown on a number of quote-unquote tech support scams being run out of India, which have conned people not only here in the U.S., but in the U.K. and Canada and any other English-speaking country, primarily English-speaking country, out of millions of pounds, dollars, cookies, whatever it is. This has been going on since 2008. As explained by The Guardian, back in 2010, the scams use boiler room tactics, dialing through phone books for English-speaking countries. People who answer the phone were told the call came from Microsoft or their Internet service provider and that the person's computer was reporting viruses. The caller would then perform an unnecessary fix on the computer and charge the person for it and sometimes sign them up for multi-year support contracts. The cost could run into the hundreds and thousands of pounds. People in the U.S., U.K., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand were targeted because they, like the people carrying out the scam, are English-speaking. The Guardian understands that the scam was worth millions of pounds a year to the organized gangs carrying it out. Yes, you got hacker gangs now. Who knew?
Hacker gangs. Can we join one of those? That sounds hot.
We need to be on the Robin Hood side, though, the good side. We go in and hack stuff and make good stuff happen. Anyway, at the FTC's request, in six cases, a federal district judge froze the U.S. assets of 17 people and 14 companies that have been accused of taking part in the operations. The FTC has also shut down 80 Internet domain names and 130 phone numbers used in the U.S. to carry out the scams. The FTC is seeking an end to the scams and repayments for people who were conned out of their cash. Though the FTC said that it could not put a figure on how many people had been scammed or how much they had lost, Microsoft, which has been working with the commission for the past 2 years to try and catch the criminals, provided data on more than 1,000 people who had been scammed, whose losses averaged, get this, $875 each.
Ooh.
Yeah, Microsoft has repeatedly pointed out that it would not call people about any problems with their computers. In some cases, the scammers would try to sell antivirus software from reputable companies, and in some cases would install new copies of Windows on machines. I've seen people that have wiped hard drives and they can't figure out why. Well, I was on the phone earlier with a guy from tech support, and he said he was going to install. Dude, didn't happen.
Why would you do this, people? Don't you?
No, they don't know. This is why I said there needs to be a license to get on the Internet. This is one of the reasons why. However, the license key that was used on the software allowed Microsoft to trace it back to the buyer, which aided in the investigation. The fraud occurred in several English-speaking countries. Joining the FTC in the enforcement action also were the Australian Communications and Media Authority, the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission, and the UK's Serious Organized Crime Agency. David Vladek, director of the FTC's Bureau of Consumer Protection, said it was working with law enforcement officials in India to catch the alleged perpetrators. The commission has also referred the cases to the U.S. Justice Department for possible criminal prosecution. The companies whose assets have been frozen, and I'm only going to read this because some of you need to warn your family members who are not PC savvy, and I'm not going to limit it to old people because some of you are 22 and have no idea. Pecon Software, PC Care 24/7, Connections Infotech, Connections IT Services Private Limited, Zeal IT Solutions, Lakshmi InfoSoul Services Private Limited Virtual PC Solutions, First PC Solution, Direct PC Solution, Virtual IT Supports, Global Innovative Service, 24/7 PC Help, 24/7 PC Tech, Transfront Solutions, New World Services, Megabytes Solutions, Megabits, Graybytes Cybertech, Blue System Care, Shine Solutions Private Limited, and the FTC has also named 17 people who were singly or together directors of the accused companies. The companies involved also had U.S. locations who were funneling the money back to India. Some also have U.K. offices. Okay, all this boils down to people. If somebody calls you and starts saying your computer's infected, we don't have that kind of – that's not going on yet. Maybe in 10 to 20,
hang up on them.
Yeah. 10 to 20 years, maybe Microsoft will be calling saying, you know, hi. But then they probably will still have you verify some information.
Or you turn around and tell them, hi, I want to sell you a penis enlargement.
Say, oh, yeah, sure, I'll buy your stuff if you buy this penis enlargement.
Oh, you know, I had to say it.
she had to say it. So, this scam has been going around for a while. And I was saying earlier, it was older people that are getting scammed. But now that I'm remembering, I've had a couple of young, you know, college kids that are like, well, someone called me from Microsoft. It's like, Microsoft will not call you.
Microsoft would never, ever call you.
Unless your name is Donald Trump. Or you have that, or, you know, P. Diddy, you're one of those people. Microsoft is not calling you to tell you your computer's infected. Get the whole sense of, you know, narcissistic sense of self-importance out of your head. They did not call you. Someone is trying to get your money, and you need to be aware of that.
You probably just handed it over. You probably just bent over and like, oh, yeah.
Another scam that is also going around, the PayPal emails. Here's the key to knowing when this is not a PayPal email. When it is an email from PayPal, it will have your name in it, not dear user. Some of you have gotten taken by that one, too. I've talked to a few of you that are like, I got my stuff stolen from PayPal. That's because that wasn't PayPal. If it doesn't have your name in it, it's not from you. Don't click on it and put your account information in. You know, in general, people, just be paranoid when you're on the Internet. That works well.
Be very, very, very paranoid because there are a lot of trolls out there.
And I know some of you don't want to talk to people, but sometimes if it's something like that, call PayPal. Call them up.
Mm-hmm. Man, I hope we're not breaking up. I hear you breaking up a little bit, so I'm wondering.
That's because this freaking Farmville is making me mine these pumpkins. I got to get these pumpkins in because my chickens is hungry.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Her chickens are hungry.
You got to say is, not are. You got to say is. It's not right unless you say
mm-hmm. Oh, this is interesting. All right, game politics, because I love it. I was going to talk about the team that was an idiot, but this is a little bit more interesting to me. George Washington will be the villain of note in Assassin's Creed 3 DLC.
Oh, I love it. I love it already.
That is awesome. Ubisoft's upcoming DLC for Assassin's Creed 3 will have a very unique villain, George Washington, the founder of our country and the first U.S. president, and man of wooden teeth, right? Was basically offered a position similar to king or emperor of America. Washington declined, and this is a true story, by the way. Washington declined that offer and instead became the first president of the country, according to every history book just about written about him. But in a new story arc that will play out across three different DLC releases for the game, Washington becomes the king of America and an enemy of the people. As the revolution comes to a close, a new and most unexpected enemy emerges, says Ubisoft. Driven by the desire to secure the fate of the colonies, the greatest hero of the revolution, George Washington, succumbs to the temptation of infinite power. The new king is born, and his reign leaves no one untouched. To return freedom to the land, our new hero must dethrone a tyrant he once called a friend. The story will be across three episodic content releases, all of which will be available by purchasing the Assassin's Creed 3 Season Pass or through separate purchases. The Season Pass will cost $29.99 for 2,400 Microsoft points on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and PC. The Season Pass gives access to a total of 5 content packs, including single-player and multiplayer content. Right, so Assassin's Creed 3 is going to be released on Xbox and PS3 starting October 30th, followed by Wii U version on November 18th and PC version on November 23rd.
I cannot
wait. Is Wii U coming that soon?
Yeah, Wii U's coming that soon.
When's the release date? Do we know? I forgot.
I don't know. I think the thing that most people, this is what I hear, I heard this morning. There's a couple of moms who are, some of you are catching on quick out there. You gave her mommies, is looking for some place to put one on the layaway.
Oh, that's. Because when I thought my Wii was fried recently, I was already looking at a Wii U. That's the reason I wasn't going to replace my Wii.
I'm going to keep my Wii, but I want a Wii U because, you know, those consoles end up being worth money in a short time. Like, I still have my GameCube. Anybody want to buy it?
No, I
still got my PlayStation 1. Anybody want to buy it? Still got my Sega Genesis. Anybody want to buy it? So I'm hanging on to it. But we were talking about this this morning when I was in Target trying to get a Starbucks. I didn't have time. But the lady was saying, I am trying to find somebody that will let me put it on layaway, even though they don't have it in stock. And they don't know. Generally, the stores are not knowing because Nintendo, I mean, they didn't with the Wii. They don't tell you how many they have until you're, you know, the day they, the people don't know until they actually have them, how many they have. Target does theirs a little differently than Walmart. So if you want organized chaos, you want to go to Target if you end up having to wait outside, because the Target stores will actually come out and hand you a ticket. It's all pretty. I think I still have mine somewhere.
Oh.
It's a very pretty little ticket that says, you know, you are number, you know, 23 for your Wii. And you can go home after that. You don't have to worry about somebody taking it or you're not going to get one. Once they give you that ticket, you can go home and go to sleep and come back. I think they give you a 48-hour window to come get it, you know, to say it's yours, to show up with your ticket to claim it. And then, bam, you don't have to stay there. Now, Walmart, they're going to let you in at midnight, and it's a go for what you know. Whoever gets there first is whoever gets there first.
Exactly. And that is crazy.
That is dangerous.
I will not be getting it on the midnight release. I'm sorry, just not happening. No.
I enjoyed the camping app. Only it, like I said, the Target was organized chaos. And also, I think my local Toys R Us had a line, but not many people wanted to stand over there because it was dark. It was like, I don't want to get mugged from a Wii. Apparently, is it my turn? It's my turn.
I'm trying to. No, I waited and I got my Wii. Like a week later, somebody had returned it. Their kids hadn't even played it, so they returned it. And I got it for less than $100.
Ooh, nice.
Yes, it was very nice.
Nintendo does not believe in the price gouging. And I'm warning you people out there, you know, that have your little online stores, don't do it. Nintendo will come after you. They don't like that. Whatever they say the price is, that's what you better be selling it for.
Mm-hmm. Because then we say that's why. Who is it that's not going to be selling it?
Somebody got you.
Amazon? Is it Amazon?
I believe them. I believe, and they released it early, and they had the price checked up, so Nintendo does not go for that business.
Mm-mm.
All right, you peoples.
You peoples.
Ginger's going to like this next story.
Uh-oh.
Paul Owens has confirmed that Minecraft, the story of Mojang, should be released on DVD and digital platforms around September 7th. That's right. There's going to be a Minecraft documentary.
We really need a Minecraft documentary, people.
No,
I mean, I love me some Minecraft, but really?
He told Eurogamer that December 7th is the aim to have this done. He said, but added that the studio hasn't quite settled on the exact date. The film was produced by Two Player Productions and was funded by Kickstarter and received $210,297 in contributions. It's billed as a feature-length documentary on the first year of Mojang, the studio built upon the runaway success of the indie computer game Minecraft. Two Player's other recent works include Penny Arcade, the series, which I have never heard of before, telling you about that article.
I never watched it. Yeah, I've heard about it. I've never watched it, but I've heard it.
Well, they need to work on their marketing. Has anybody else out there heard of this?
It'd be interesting if it's actually made after LFG, Looking for Group. Yeah.
I don't know
if it is or not.
I was in a documentary. I just don't remember who produced it or what happened to it.
You know, I'm almost willing to ask, but at the same time, that sounds a little...
No, not that doc. Well, there was a... This was a while ago. There was some guys following around, PMS girls, and we were up for the weekend. There is nothing like having an afternoon gamer party. If you have not done it, do it. You just invite people over, and you just play games, and you eat. You play whatever game. It doesn't... Not one, everything. You know, everybody bring their handheld consoles and just pick a spot and sit there. And they were there doing a documentary, and... asking questions, and then they went with us to, I want to say I was at E3, I'm really not sure, but I remember my particular segment was, you know, how much I love my games, that I love my games so much that during, after Hurricane Katrina, when we had to evacuate Houston, the first thing I grabbed was not my clothes, was Baby Matrix, and the next things I grabbed, the PC, Xbox, Wii, PlayStation, and I was like, the rest of it can go. I don't care. Let's go.
Fair enough.
Let's go. I'm out. So they thought that was hilarious. But I don't know who produced it. I don't know where it is. Anybody out there remembers that, send me a link. I'd like to see that.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I think they also got me on tape yelling at the screen playing something. No, you did not. You're going to die.
Wow. You're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right. So.
Do it.
Tiny Troopers reaches 1 million downloads on the Apple App Store. Yay! Tiny, itty bitty, Tiny Troopers. Available on the PC, the Mac App Store, and Steam with Android. This fall, Finnish game developer Kukuri has announced that its first game, action war titled Tiny Troopers, has now reached over 1 million downloads on the Apple App Store. They say, we are thrilled that fans around the world are enjoying the bite-sized action and clever humor of Tiny Troopers. It's coming from Kim Soers, CEO of Kukuri. The game has rocketed up the charts as fans discovered how immersive the game is. Tiny Troopers is, of course, available for PC and Mac and on all digital or major digital outlets, including Steam. The game was launched on the Mac App Store during last week's Eurogamer Expo and will be coming to Android soon. Android free. That's what I want to know. Free? Is it going to be free? Free, because I like free.
Do I need to say it again? Droid.
Droid. Yes.
That hurts my throat. Well, it does. Bad ginger, bad.
I didn't say nothing.
You are bad.
I said nothing.
Slap yourself on the wrist. Slap it.
I said nothing.
Well, there's some interesting news going on this morning. Our friends over at Geekosystem, hi there, guys, have an interesting story. Cliffy B has left Epic Games.
I saw that yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's left the building, y'all. It's over. He's done. He's gone.
Cliffy B, who is also known as the Tony Stark of the video games industry, and yes, girls, he is kind of cute. His name is Cliff Bleszinski as well, left Epic Games after 20 years of hard work. Cliffy B is known for his influence on and recent association with the Gears of War games, but his biggest accomplishment is likely the establishment of the Unreal franchise. Now that both he and the BioWare co-founders are out of the picture, it looks like it might be time for someone else to step up to the mic. The departure was announced in a bittersweet post on Epic Games' website yesterday. Tim Sweeney, founder and CEO of Epic Games, said that Bleszinski has grown into a true design luminary, and his contributions to the Unreal and Gears series have helped shape the game industry into what it is today. That's a fairly sparkling review, but then it's not like Sweeney's going to burn bridges or anything. As for what Cliffy B is planning to do now, he says he wants to chill out. he says he didn't know what he's going to be doing. He says he has his next stage of his career planned out. He says, I've been doing this since I was a teenager. Outside of my sabbatical last year, I've been going nonstop. I literally grew up in this business, as Mike likes to say, and now that I'm grown up, it's time for a much-needed break. Chances are he'll be back at some point. During the meantime, however, it's likely that he'll be chilling out, as he said, and generally being a total bro. He says, hot cars and sweet ladies, and as far as the eye can see, is what he probably has in mind. Huh?
Old is Cliffy B.
I don't know, but he is a cutie. He is quite a cutie. He's probably,
looking at pictures yesterday, I was like, oh, hey.
Yeah, about 36 or so. You know, he says 20 years, and he started when he was a teenager. I'm estimating he was about maybe 17.
He's still really, really young. So
yeah, he's still young. Ladies, he's cute. And I'm assuming he's single. I don't hear anything about a wife and kids, so you might want to scoop this one up.
Interesting.
Did you know?
I don't know what you're talking about. I would never. All right. I had just pulled up a picture of him again. Nope. Wii U Epic Mickey 2, The Power of Two, coming to the UK with a new release date, if I can find it for you. Disney Epic Mickey Power of Two video game is going to be available for the Nintendo Wii system starting the 30th of November. Wii U players will experience their adventure through Wasteland, an alternate world filled with more than 80 years of forgotten Disney characters, theme park attractions, and HD graphics, and enjoy enhanced game features. Bill Roper, Vice President and General Manager of Production Disney Interactive says it's exciting to bring Nintendo fans Disney Epic Mickey 2, The Power of Two. Can we not give me tongue twisters this early in the morning, people? This is not nice. On Nintendo's revolutionary new game system, the technological advances of the Wii U system have allowed us to enhance player direction and provide our fans with an immersive as well as unique gaming experience. All right, so what is The Power of Two? Well, it returns Mickey Mouse and Oswald the Lucky Rabbit to Wasteland, an alternate world filled with more than 80 years of forgotten Disney characters and theme park attractions. For the first time, Mickey and Oswald will join forces as true partners. Mickey with the magical paintbrush that allows him to wield paint and thinner, and Oswald with a powerful remote control that allows him to command electricity. New co-op play further enhances the idea that play style matters. Players tackle challenges the way they want to in order to explore a variety of possibilities and storylines, but always with the consequences for their chosen actions. Awesome. So, sounds like a game that a lot of my friends' kids are going to enjoy. I don't know if I would, but hey, you know, if you're over in the EU area and you want to play this, it is coming out, like I said, November 30th, so take a look.
I don't know about all that.
Me either.
I don't know. I was never a Mickey Mouse fan.
Never a Mickey Mouse fan?
Not ever. I was never the Disney. I was the Charlie Brown, the Bugs Bunny camp.
Miss Piggy and the frog and their babies.
Muppets.
Muppet Babies. I liked the Muppet Babies.
Aww.
They were adorable. I liked the Muppet Babies.
Okay, I got two things to share.
Uh-oh.
One of them you're going to scream about, and the other one you might scream about. Okay, so finally Bethesda shows us some love. They've announced the creation of a new studio in Austin, Texas.
Yay!
Called Battle Cry Studios. Battle Cry will be run by former Star Wars The Old Republic executive producer Rich Vogel, fresh off of his 7-year stint at BioWare. Vogel left the studio 2 months ago, unconnected to the layoffs that hit around the same time as his departure. And he says, "I have always admired and respected Bethesda's approach to making great original games." He says, "It's a belief and a passion I share, and I'm looking forward to building a team of high-quality developers who want to bring that same commitment and creative energy to the games we'll be creating." He says, "We're very pleased to have..." I'm sorry, actually, this is from Vlatko Adanov, who says, "We're very pleased to have someone with Rich's vast experience join us at Bethesda. Rich has a history of building and managing talented development teams and bringing high-quality games to the market." Battlecry Studios is currently looking to hire, H-I-R-E, pay attention, experienced developers for its team, including a lead designer, art director, senior gameplay programmer, and a monetization designer. The available job descriptions point to the development of a new free-to-play online title. Battlecry will be Bethesda's second studio in the Austin area, which I didn't know they had another one. The first one being the Dishonored developer Arkane Studios. Oh, we should have went over there to visit, Ginger. We should have went to visit.
Should have. Huh?
Darn it! Bethesda, darn it. Okay, so now for my second story. But we will be down there now. Yeah, we will be down there now, Bethesda. Y'all better be aware. When we come.
We're coming.
We're going to come down there and harass you.
Get some jelly ready.
That's right. That's how we roll. Our friends over at Purple Pond.
Purple Pond. You know, if your pond is purple.
God, well, we are making some interesting friends. Okay, so people friends at Purple Pond have found some interesting things. See, Ginger, you kept hearing about the Legos in a Hobbit game?
Yes.
Well, I don't know that it's going to be a video game, because here's the thing that they've actually put out. It's a Lego Hobbit board game. Yes.
No. Really?
The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey is a new constructible
Lego board game?
Wait, now.
What?
It's a constructible board game being put out by Lego. As with all Lego games, you have to first build a board. After that, you take control of Gandalf, Dwalin, Kili, or Fili in search of the 10 other dwarves. You'll also be helping Bilbo Baggins along his part of the journey. The player who finds the most dwarves wins the game. You should be able to find the game in most retail locations that carry LEGO right now. It runs around $34.99 and is for ages 7+. LEGO is also hosting a giveaway on their Facebook page to go along with the release of the game. Starting on October 8th, you can roll to win a variety of different prizes, including the Hobbit game, a LEGO Games hosting kit, the Hobbit construction kits, and even vouchers to see The Hobbit when it comes out in the studio, in theaters. And as for now, if you go over and check out their page, you can see LEGO Gandalf. He is absolutely adorable. I'm sorry.
I want him. I hope I like this.
I'm going to like them, so if you follow our page, you'll see him. I'm sorry, he's cute. I don't know what to tell you. He's cute. I want him.
I don't know what to think about this, people. I don't know what to think about this. This is...
It might be...
It's a board game, but this Legos... I mean, so, like, it could fall apart while you're playing? No offense.
No, you know Legos don't fall apart. Come on, you know, sometimes you put Legos together, they never come apart. We had some Legos that...
And then, you know, sometimes you stack Legos and they refuse to stay stacked and they come apart.
Well, I guess we will find out. Some of you out there, but apparently they've been making board games out of all of this. There's a board game version of Harry Potter because I'm seeing him, you know, on their page. They got a ton of board games. I guess we all just kind of assume they stopped doing it because they've been, you know, making the Lego video games, which is great
yeah.
money for them. But they still kept the board games going. Very very nice. Wait a minute, are these people I know? No, I don't know you. Okay, so. I thought I knew somebody. Yeah, well, you know, little blonde chick. I know a lot of little blonde girls. So they still make Lego stuff, apparently. They have all kinds of things going on. We just, you know, we're all caught up in the Lego Batmans and all that kind of business, so we really haven't been paying attention. But they never stopped. If you go look at their page, tons of little events. This
you know,
one here is ultra cool.
When I was in
cool.
Chicago, I went to go to the Lego store there. Mm-hmm. And to go through the little paid section, it was like $50 a person. I was like, no thanks. I'll take a picture with the giant giraffe out here, and I'm good. Seriously, I was like, what in the world, people? All right, so, I've already read the Mickey Wii U. I can close that one. YouTube announced as partner of HMV Games Master Golden Joystick Awards 2012. YouTube puts its name to a brand new category, the YouTube Gamer Award, a live stream of ceremony hosted on the HMV Games Master Golden Joystick Awards channel. The HMV Games Master Golden Joystick Awards today announces YouTube, the world's most popular online video community, as an official partner. The tie-up sees YouTube sponsor a brand new category, the YouTube Gamer Award, whilst also promoting and hosting a live stream of the event itself. Voted for by gamers on the HMV Games Master Golden Joystick Awards channel, the new category. Can you tell I've got news on the brain? The new category will recognize the biggest and best gaming video creators on YouTube. Nominees for the award are Yogcast, which is awesome, by the way. Love your accents. I would totally hump your legs. The Syndicate Project, never watched you. Total Biscuit, nope. Athene Wins, nope. Matriarch, nope. And in the Little Wood, nope, but I will watch all of you later. Kyron Doyle, Strategic Partner Manager for YouTube, says, we are very excited to be sponsoring the YouTube Gamer Award at the HMV Games Master Golden Joystick Awards this year. Gaming channels on YouTube represent a large and ever-growing community. The nominees for the award have built global audiences with millions of subscribers and stand out as some of the most successful gaming partners. Awesome. As the largest and longest-running video game awards of the world, the HMV Games Master Golden Joystick Award celebrates its 30th anniversary this year. Voted for exclusively by the global gaming public, this year we'll see the very best of the gaming industry compete across 17 fiercely contested award categories, including Best Action-Adventure Game in Association with Digital Spy and Best Handheld Game in Association with T3. All right, so voting for the YouTube Gamer Award is now open via youtube.com/GoldenJoystickAwards. Go check it out. Do it. Miss Corey, are you there?
I'm here, and I've just realized I was muted.
Muted.
I was muted, and it was not pretty.
Oh, no.
All right, so, yeah, there's way too much news, like, everywhere. I'm like...
I know! Man, news is picking up left and right. What is going on, people?
All right, so we got some other interesting things happening. There's a new free game coming out today. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. It's not today. On October 12th, called Happy Wars, is coming to the Xbox Live Arcade. Toy Logic Inc., the developer of console titles based out of Tokyo, Japan, today announced Happy Wars, a new free-to-play game for Xbox Live Arcade. I am all kinds of shocked. It'll be available on Xbox Live for you Gold members to download for free on October 12th. Happy Wars is a large-scale multiplayer action game that can be enjoyed by up to 30 players at once in online cartoon combat. Free to any console owners with an Xbox Live Gold membership, gamers from around the world will be able to join together in exciting castle sieges and spell slinging. Okay, we got to play this. Madcap free-for-all battles in a variety of fantastic settings will also happen. Players will then be able to upgrade their characters' looks, outfits, and equipment as they continue to play, either by using Happy Stars in battle or by buying hack tickets for the in-game item shop. You can... Oh, let me see. They gave us a trailer. I will try to put up for you on our site, or you can visit them at the official Happy Wars website. Again, we'll have this information up on our site shortly. I am... thinking we got to play this, Ginger. It's a free to play.
Yeah, sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, we can actually get Horace to play and everything.
Horace won't show up. You know this.
He'll show up. He'll just be playing Transformers.
I know, right? Horace, you fail. You fail, Horace. We're calling you out. You're full of fail.
He's, yeah.
You fail.
Okay,
failure.
It is cute. It looks very cute. I think this was going to be a hit. You know, with up to 30 people. Oh, my God. Yeah, we're so playing this. It is adorable. I will have this trailer up here shortly. Oh my God, we have to play this. Adorable. Look at all the yeah. I can see
Yay!
Me screaming. I'm gonna be screaming at somebody. Did you just? Oh my God, look at the hurricane. There's a tornado. Oh, look at the. This is cute. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Let me find the one. There we go. Able Gamers Foundation opens first permanent accessibility arcade.
Ah, nice.
Mm-hmm. The Able Gamers Foundation, who we talk really a lot about, they're really awesome, announced this week that a permanent arcade designed specifically for gamers who have disabilities opens today. Actually, this was yesterday. It was just a little bit late getting to it. The arcade opened yesterday at the Washington, D.C. Public Library's main MLK branch. While the foundation has shown off its arcade concept before, it was a limited-time installation in the past. This new arcade will be a permanent fixture to the library, giving disabled gamers a place to try out games without having to worry about struggling with controls that are unusable due to their specific disabilities. Our partnership with the Able Gamers Foundation brings the freedom, fun, and independence of video gaming to D.C. residents with disabilities, says Venetia Dimson, who is the chief of D.C. Public Library's Adaptive Services Division. She goes on, she says, we're looking forward to welcoming new and experienced gamers with disabilities of all ages to the library for a unique experience. When properly used, video games can be an important learning tool for literacy, spatial reasoning, and curriculum support, as well as a wonderful social experience. I'm going to read between the lines and say that no really good fun games like Black Ops, Call of Duty, or Warfare.
You can't do that at the library because if it was, it's me, oh man.
No. None of the games with, really big boobs are going to be there. Sorry, guys. This is really one of the finest days in the history of the organization, says Steve. I'm going to say your name wrong. Sorry, Steve Spoon?
Spawn.
Steve Spawn!
Remember Spawn, the superhero?
I couldn't remember if it was Spawn or Spoon. I was like, is it Spoon or is it Spawn? Steve Spawn, who I love, by the way.
Spawn!
I love you, Spawn! Editor-in-Chief of the Able Gamers Foundation, this is a tremendous victory for disabled gamers everywhere. But moreover, it's a victory for everyone who has ever worked with, contributed to, and especially donated to the foundation. We would like to thank each and every one of you who has helped and will continue to help the disabled gamer community. Yay! All right, so you want to check these people out, ablegamers.com.
All right.
And tell Spawn I sent you. But tell him, he needs a spoon.
All right.
What had happened was. Or did it?
I did not.
Did it?
All right. More interesting, lovely news. Why are my pages crashing? Man, I cannot stand you. Shockwave.
They just like crash out of nowhere, and it's
yeah.
They all lock up. Sorry, Shockwave has quit working. And it's like, would you like to reload down? You hit reload and it just spins. And it spins and it spins. But you know what? I can jump in with something else.
You're going to have to because my pages just crashed.
All right. This is not specifically gaming, but it is kind of somewhat techie. Because, you know, we use Twitter quite a lot for our own show. Team behind kidnapping hoax tweet returns home. All right. So there's a 16-year-old girl, Kara Alongi, from New Jersey. At least I think she's from New Jersey. She's not very smart, even though she is, like, a straight-A student. I took to her Twitter to tell people to call 911. There's someone in my house. Of course, the internet quickly responded to her message. The hashtag HelpFindKara trended on a global level on Twitter, and nearly 34,000 people retweeted her call for help to raise awareness. Also, the local police department got over 6,000 phone calls after her tweet went viral. What did she exactly tweet? She tweeted, there's someone in my hour, call 911, which they kind of figured was in my house, call 911. That came from at Kara Alongi. Of course, the authorities were called, and they came and checked her house. They found that there were no indications of forced entry or stolen property. Traced her scent to the back of her house and to the neighbor's yard until it disappeared. Well, why did this disappear? Well, young Miss Idiot decided that she was going to run away, called a cab. And, of course, cab service were able to tell the police, oh, yeah, somebody called us from that address, and we picked her up and we dropped her off at the train station. They get to the train station. She's bought a ticket to New York City. So, people, you know, if you're going to use Twitter to try to make a fake I'm running away, please pay attention to me. Be aware that they will find you and very quickly. This is the internet. There are a lot of stalkers, and some of us can find you on very little information. Be safe. All right, so that was my story.
So they're bringing charges against her?
No, not yet. Well, she's 16, so I don't know what exactly they're going to do. But at the same time, people, don't be dumb. Don't be dumb. It's just not.
Okay. So, we got some other new games out today. Game Evil is releasing a tactical turn-based RPG called Kingdom Royal to the App Store today. Kingdom Royale presents to users.
Sorry, you had to say Royale.
Royale, you have to say it like that. Kingdom Royale is an internally developed title that embodies the RPG and defense elements that are specialized by Game Evil in a tactical turn-based social war game. Game Royale presents to users an all-immersive type of gameplay that requires tending to one's territories and strategically initiating attacks to expand their kingdom. At the home base, players build camps to build an army of elves, humans, and orcs. By upgrading camps, the level of troops increase and can be trained to learn special skills in the training camp. Other buildings such as the bank, mines, and farms are used to harvest natural resources or earn currency. Players are assigned quests that lead one's troops into battle to expand their kingdom. By conquering distant lands and protecting territories from bandits and other rivals, users maintain control of their properties while collecting resources from the territories. The battles of Kingdom Royale are tactical, turn-based. Each battle allows users to choose their units into battle. Successful implementation of skill and strategy are based on deploying units that balance the strengths and weaknesses of enemies. Skill upgrades and various items provide a wide array of combat tactics. Adding friends and forming alliances also expands social elements of gameplay. Kingdom Royale features elements of action, strategy, and war in an immersive RPG style. They say Kingdom Royale has a little bit of everything: tactical turn-based action, territory management, and a deep system of upgrades and rewards, stated Q Lee, VP head of Game Evil USA. Says, we're excited to launch one of our internal titles to our fans, and we're sure they'll find great satisfaction. It is now available for free on the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch devices. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it does. That sounds quite interesting, actually.
Sounds interesting. I might want to play.
You know, we're always looking for new games, always. As many as we play, we're still looking for new games.
Like we don't have enough to play.
I know. It's kind of nuts like that. All right. Where'd we go? Xbox Music reportedly launching on October 26th for free. I love the free. I love the free.
Free is good.
Free is good. Free is so nice. Microsoft will reportedly launch its Xbox Music service on October 26th and will make it available free of charge. This is coming from The Verge. The streaming service is also going to be offered as free ad-supported model or a subscription-based plan similar to Zune's Music Pass, which is available for $10 a month or $100 a year. I think that's actually cheaper than Pandora. I may have to check that out. Xbox Music won't just be limited to Microsoft's gaming console. The service will also be available on Windows Phone and Windows 8. Another key part of the service is going to be its integration with Microsoft SkyDrive that will allow users to store music and playlists in the cloud. Earlier price leaks revealed that Xbox Music will cost $8.99, which is pounds, lindens, francs, whatever the little L sign is, for a monthly pass, or $89.90 for an annual pass in the UK. It's been reported that the software giant will also bring the service to Android and iOS devices, although no time frame was given. Microsoft previously announced that Xbox Music will have a library of more than 30 million tracks. Wow.
Mm. So I wonder what happens to the music that I bought via Zune.
I don't know. I don't know, because I know I had a Zune. I wonder. I never thought about that.
I wonder, because I know I can't get it back anymore. You know,
yeah, because Zune went under.
Yeah, so I want to know what happened to my stuff. I need it back.
Yeah, I know. Did they pass, like, a level 70 res on the thing? And
did you say a level 70 res?
Level 70 res!
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
You come back with, like, 10 hit points.
Ginger is stuck in the gaming. Oh, I forgot. That's what we do.
That's okay. What we do all day. All day, every day. Oh, that was like funny yesterday. You know, you're not very good at this game for somebody who plays games all day long. By the fourth round, I'd caught up.
What were you playing?
I was playing Black Ops. I hadn't played in
That's right.
First three rounds, I didn't kill anything. I died every time. By the fourth round, it was even score. Keep talking. You didn't need that left lung, did you?
Oh, God. Okay, well, there was a lawsuit going on with Activision. Band Hero, remember that whole thing? No Doubt was after Activision for, you know, their music. They settled the lawsuit with Activision, which centered around the Band Hero title, making the group virtual karaoke players. Associated Press reported that the agreement was reached on Monday. The two parties were due to hash out the fraud, violation of publicity rights.
You're making my Avatar sing songs I've never actually sang.
Violation of publicity rights and breach of contract allegations on October 15th. The band filed a lawsuit in November 2009, upset that the band members could be used to perform songs by other artists and claimed contrary to the agreement between the parties. In April 2010, L.A. County Superior Court supported the suit, rejecting Activision's freedom of speech defense. No Doubt are just one group to battle Activision over the Band Hero and Guitar Hero brands. Guns N' Roses frontman Axl Rose, Maroon 5, former Nirvana band members David Grohl and Chris Novoselic, and Courtney Love have all been unhappy with the series' use of musicians as avatars. Why, people?
I don't know. Because they make me sing stuff I wouldn't actually sing. You know what? Sing the Barney song for me. Sing it. I love you.
I don't. You know what that tells me? We have a whole group of artists out there that do not understand the games, the internet. It's not like they, you know, they license to use your music and your likeness. I don't see what the big deal is. It's not like
I don't either. But these guys apparently have a great big head and needs to be popped.
If nothing else, if you were gonna, you know, stress something, what I would do is say, hey, if my avatar is gonna be singing songs, then I want to be a pickable avatar. You know, where they can buy clothes and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, for me, and then I want, you know, you to sell those clothes, and then we want a portion of that money. That's how you do that.
Yes.
I'm gonna be, oh, you want to put Gwen Stefani in the game? You want to have me sing a Nirvana song? That's fine, but they need to be able to buy clothes. I need to be actually named Gwen Stefani, be able to pick me and play with me and all that stuff. And, yeah, let's do that.
I agree. You know, Gwen Stefani, I don't even like you and your little fake accent you sing in anyways. Totally went there. You're not Jamaican. Give it up.
Oh, my God.
Seriously, have you heard, what is that new song? She's singing, like, in some kind of Jamaican accent. It's like, you realize you're a British white girl. Pretty sure.
Is she British? I don't even think she's British.
Is she British? I don't know where you're from, but you're...
Well, her man is not Jamaican. Her man is Scottish, but I don't think she's British. I think she's American.
All right, well, either way, you're not Jamaican. Stop it. You sound ridiculous. All right, so ASA rejects Hitman Absolution trailer complete.
Oh, God. Again with the Hitman Absolution trailer. We love that
right?
trailer.
People, I know. I thought it was awesome. Ah, man, those outfits on those nuns are hot. The United Kingdom's Advertising Standards Authority has ruled that the Hitman's Absolution game trailer, Attack of the Saints, did not glamorize violence or violence towards women. Hello, those women came bring violence.
It was violence.
Guns and knives and everything else.
It was violence against men. How come they're not...
Exactly. The agency made the ruling after several complaints were filed about the trailer, and some in the middle pondered the message the trailer was trying to send about the trailer featuring sexy assassins disguised as Catholic nuns who Agent 47 attacks in an ultra-violent fight scene. While the ASA did note that the trailer contained a lot of violent and sexual scenes, it also said that the ad was placed behind an appropriate age gate. It also considered it likely that users who viewed the trailer were specifically seeking out material related to the game due to it being featured on Hitman's YouTube and Facebook channels. They said at the end of the day, the ASA concluded the trailer did not glamorize violence or violence against women. All right, now, it might have glamorized violence. That was some pretty violent crap going on right there. That was kind of hot. I mean, he's got like three girls and one hit. Sure, it was girls, but it could have been guys. Those girls were out there to kill him. They were hit men, too. Hit women. They just weren't as good. Of course, you know, if you don't want to be bothered, you don't really want to be looked at, wearing a nun suit, most people aren't going to look too, you know, twice at you. Oh, it's a bunch of nuns walking together. Okay, cool, whatever. You know, they're walking to the church, whatever.
They weren't walking to the church. They were coming to get him. And
they
keep overlooking is they were not actually nuns. I don't care.
No. And then they started, like, stripping off those habits. I was like, wow.
That is not a nun, because they're dressed as nuns. Okay, so I might dress as Big Bird for Halloween. That doesn't make me Big Bird.
I do. Oh. I suppose, though, if I were an assassin and a girl, I would have more of me covered than what they had covered.
Yeah, because that's, you know, you're fighting. If there's a knife fight, you're getting hurt. You know, you have
I want to have, like, thick leather of some sort on. I mean,
I got leather, Kevlar, you know, this type of stuff. I might be showing a little cleavage just to throw the guy off, but you know. But still.
Girls don't like to be restrained that much.
Yes. So I'm like, this is idiotic because in the real world, again, if I dress up as a waitress for Halloween, that doesn't make me a waitress.
Exactly.
So what is the big deal? Here's another interesting bit, and then because we're about to have to go. Colleen Lackowitz, you may not have heard of her. You will now. She's running for state senate in Waterville, Maine. She also plays a whole lot of World of Warcraft. And according to the Maine Republicans, this means she's unfit to run for office. The Maine Republican Party has set up an entire website dedicated to digging up old forum posts made by Lackowitz on Blizzard's online role-playing game. Colleen Lackowitz is a Democrat candidate for Maine State Senate, is what they write. And in Colleen's online fantasy world, she gets away with crude, vicious, and violent comments like the ones below, where she, I'll tell you what she said in a moment. Maine needs a state senator that lives in the real world, not in Colleen's fantasy world. Yes, this website was actually set up by the Maine Republican Party. It features posts by Lackowitz like, I love poisoning and stabbing. It is fun. I never thought I would love it so much either. I did not start out in WoW as with a rogue. Maine's Republican Party spokesman David Sorensen also has written up what might be the best press release ever. Democrat Senate candidate Colleen Lackowitz's disturbing alter ego revealed is how it starts.
Disturbing? Oh, my God. You're playing a video game.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
So we will definitely be talking about this later on tonight, but let me tell you a couple more comments that they pulled. They said her character name, they put her character name all out into the streets. Her character in-game name is called Santiago, and I'm going to say it because I'm telling you, those of you who play World of Warcraft, go and support this woman if you live in Maine. If you live in the surrounding area, go and support her. This would be one of the few times we have a candidate that's actually a gamer running for office, and it shouldn't have an effect on anything. What if she likes to listen to polka music and wear polka dots when she's at home? Has nothing to do with when she's at work. She's an orc assassin rogue, and she lives vicariously through her, she said, making comments about World of Warcraft and other topics on the liberal blog, The Daily Cost. Here's a sampling of what they put up of her comments. So I'm a level 68 orc rogue girl. That means I stab things a lot. And I just already told you that comment. The rest of it was, who would have thought that a peace-loving social worker and Democrat would enjoy that? She says, yes, I'm seriously slacking off at work today, and I called my congresswoman's office today and told them I would probably be calling every day. Really? She said, I spent my day leveling my alt and undead warlock. And then they're pulling stuff like, I'm lazy, remember? Then it says, now if you'll excuse me, I may have to go hunt down Grover Norquist and drown him in my bathtub. This, and the comments go on and on and on. And again, we'll be talking about it later. I cannot
wait for later. I'm going to tear into this.
They're saying some of her forum posts were a little inappropriate for someone who wants to take public office. But to use the fact that she plays World of Warcraft as a political dig against her, to say that she lives vicariously through a fictional character because she plays an online game.
All right, that's it. You guys who don't play video games, turn over to me your porn. I know you're looking at porn. What kind of porn are you looking at?
And this
you know, that totally makes you who you are.
Obviously. This was written by Jason Schreiber over at our frenemies at Kotaku. So, yeah, we will be talking about this later on tonight. I cannot even believe that they even brought this up as a, you know, way to combat her politically.
Oh, my God.
Do you not know the generation you're speaking to?
You know, we need team, what's your last name?
Lakowitz.
Team Lakowitz shirts.
I'm on it.
Team Lakowitz shirts. My God, that is just ridiculous. What is wrong with you people? She plays a video game, so oh my God, she can't run for office. Why the hell not? Because she likes to kill things in a video game? She doesn't kill them in real life, does she?
Obama, you better look, Obama, you better watch out, because if they find out you're playing too much Farmville and you're fine.
I know. Oh my, I'm hot. There are things I want to say and I can't say on
the daytime.
Oh my goodness! I want to march down to her office and like cheer for her and you know just like you stupid people. Oh my goodness! All right, so are we out of here? Or we got time for another?
We got 3 minutes, so we're probably gonna be out of here. We will see you guys later on tonight. Make sure you're here 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Sitting in the chat room, calling in, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, tune in, because we are going to tear into that story right there. That I can tell you, that's going to be like the central topic.
Oh, I'm not going to. I'm just going to sit back and be quiet because I know you and Snow are going to be all up in the heart register. Anyway, guys, you know where to find us. All day, every day.
Yes, what we'd like to do in a video game totally defines us as a person in the real world.
Save it, woman. It's coming.
Oh.